gospel stories, then the book of Acts. We've been reading in the book of Acts as a church. By the way, if you want to know what's up in our church, go to the Apple Store, go to the Google Play Store, look up MCBC or the Maple City Baptist Church, download the app, and on there we've got a Bible link, like where our church is doing a reading program together. It's two chapters a day. Get on there and see. There's also a prayer wall. Now listen, we try to be careful on that and not just put anything on there. We've made some mistakes along the way, so communicate with this a prayer and something ain't happening. I've had people call me and say, hey, what's up? I needed to hear that. So I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. There's a prayer list. We got camp on there. But you can, and if you're on a cleaning team, if you're a Sunday school teacher, all of those things, there's schedules right on that app. That way you know what the score is. And of course, we got a website, GoMCBC, but everybody has a website and nobody hardly goes to websites anymore. So, I would just recommend getting on the app and keeping up with the schedule, keeping up with the prayers on there. So, all right, Acts chapter 14. We started this series several months back, Save Not Soft, and I was just going to continue it on until we're ready for our series. So today's the big reveal for our series. Are you ready for it? You'll have to come next week. I'm just kidding. I'm not. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians, man. Hey, I just told Jordan, I said, hey, we're doing 1 Thessalonians, and he always, you know, he designs, man. He likes to do logos, all that type of thing. And he just walked into my office, like, literally hours later and said, hey, what about this? I was like, dude, that's freaking fantastic, you know. So the book of 1 Thessalonians, which we're only going to play that in here. We get flagged for everything. On Facebook, they're always like, we'll do a song, and they'll say, sorry, you know. We've had Sony before say, copyright violation. We're like, what in God's name, you know. So it's nice when we play poorly or, you know, when the voice ain't up to par, because I'm like, man, we never get flagged on those weeks. You know, but when it sounds fantastic, they're always flagging us. So we've got to watch that one. That'll hit us, so. Anyways, thanks, Jordan, for doing that. And not next Sunday. Next Sunday, campers are coming back, and it's on boldness, so there'll be a message on boldness. Bo will run the show. Hopefully, our youth will be bold enough to share what God has done in their hearts at camp. And so next week will be Camp Sunday. And then the following week, the book of 1 Thessalonians. So we'll be on that journey together. So Acts chapter 14. I was preaching through David's Mighty Men of Valor. And guys, I had a guy one time, he was an older man, and he told me this. He visited our church. He goes, Mike, he said, you treat the church like it's a football team. He said, you know, and I was like, yeah, what's wrong with that, you know? I mean, like a coach, and there's different positions. I'm okay with that, and I kind of like that a little bit. And I don't really like leaning so soft. I think Christianity is so soft. And he said, no, you almost got to treat it more like a high school, though. Make yourself like a principal. So there's not only football, but, man, there's over here the chess club, you know. You know, you've got all kinds of people and all kinds of events in the glee club, and people, you know, sing over here. And then he just, you know, described the whole thing. And I was just like, why don't you go be a principal? I'll just be a football coach. How's that? You know, so I don't know of any other way to do it. And I think we've just reached a spot where Christianity, maybe I should use the word instead of soft, silent. Guys, the Word of God, the Bible says, it's effective in every culture and in every age. A lot of people think the Bible has gone irrelevant. And that's the big problem where Paul had to tell Timothy that, said, hey, Timothy, let me give you the secret to being a pastor in the days to come. He says, preach the Bible. That you do. Teach Bible doctrine. Don't get away from that. And today, churches, they're either dying or a lot of churches are doing the other thing. They're just using marketing techniques. They're making everything short. They're making it appealing to everybody, which, hey, I'm okay with Jesus and the church being appealing, but you know what the Bible says? We're supposed to lift up Christ, and he draws people to himself. We're not just supposed to, through events and programming and music and personalities, draw people to the church. The reason why that's not effective is only effective short term, you know, when people come for the wrong reasons. So it's our job to exalt Christ. And let me tell you something. I don't know if you've got the news, but they killed him. The good news is 3 days later, he came back to life. So just remind you of that. Everybody wants to make the church sexy. They want to, you know, that's the way to do it. You're never going to attract young people if you don't, okay, whatever. They hated Jesus Christ, and yet he was a life changer. Did you know all these events we're speaking of, the crucifixion, we're 2,000 years past that. We're still talking about it today. It's the power of God unto salvation. So don't fool yourself. Watch what culture teaches, because culture tends to, it bullies people. That's what culture does. It bullies people into believing and thinking things. And there are so many things that culture gives us, and they are just so wrong. They're false. There was a school meeting not too long ago, and somebody spoke up about school, and they were saying, we need to do this. They had this program devised, and at this school board meeting, somebody brought up and just said, what we need to do is we need to do this and, you know, make it a safe place. And then a lady spoke and goes, well, just make sure we don't use churches because churches are not safe. Ain't that sad? It's not only sad, but guess what? It's not true. Bad things happen everywhere. You know, bad things normally happen. You know where the worst things happen? In homes. It's been proven. When you look at real horrible things that happen to people and people have been violated, 95% of the time it happens amongst friends and family. You know, and if you want to do some stats, I bet I could line up some stats at the public school system versus church and pinpoint heinous and criminal crimes that have taken place. The church would win. I'm just telling you that. Don't believe it. Don't believe that stuff. We got to watch what culture's given, and we need to make sure we just go to the Bible and simply, the Bible's so simple, man. We've just gotten away from it, and it works today. And some people would say, and I've always thought, people say all the time, well, it's old-fashioned. You'll go to some debate, and they'll even say, well, you can't use the Bible. I'm like, a book that's been proven for several thousand years, and you want me to take your mind? That's what I'm going to do? Your opinion over the book? I got news for you. There's only one opinion that really matters. We all have opinions, and we're all pretty messed up. The Bible says in the book of Romans that let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible's true. And so don't get caught up in what culture. That's what people do in culture. I like this, I like that. The same person that likes this, there's somebody on the other side saying, I don't like that. And so you put it all together, and basically you make your, I don't know, I always compare it to me when I was a bachelor. Bachelor cooking, what do? You don't have much in the cupboards, but what I have, I put in the pot. I'm like, man, what's this? Woo, that's the... You know, that's what you do. You put everything in there. My favorite meal I made as a bachelor, it was very simple. I had an international student living with me over the holidays. He didn't have a place to stay, so I said, come on in. I didn't know him. He was a total stranger. Until he left, 2 weeks later, we were like friends, man. So he stayed with me, a guy from Malaysia. First thing he did was bring in sacks of rice. And at this point in my life, I'd never eaten rice before. I know you don't believe that, but I've never ate a salad until I met my wife. Never. I'd never been to the dentist until I met my wife. I'm not joking, man. That's just the way we live, you know. I never ate Chinese food. I never had any sort of Hispanic or Mexican food. So when he brought in rice, I'm like, rice? Yeah, I don't eat that. you know. And so he cooks it up every night, rice every meal, every meal. Well, here's what happened. He left, and I ate rice. And I was like, man, this is pretty plain. But I ate it, you know, with him. And he left, and one night I opened up the cupboards, and what was in there? Nothing but rice. So I remember him cooking it, so I cooked up some rice. And I made a big pot of rice. This is what you do when you don't know what's going on. That's how, I don't know how to cook. So, like, my mom would go off to work. My dad was disabled. And I remember one day my mom called and says, where's the eggs? And I was like, I ate them for breakfast. She said, yeah, but there was a brand new carton in there. I said, yeah, eggs ain't very filling. She said, you ate a dozen eggs. I said, sorry. I'll go buy some more eggs, you know. I didn't even put salt and pepper in it, man. I was just ready and happy, you know. I made this big pot of rice, and all I got in the refrigerator is barbecue sauce. And so I poured barbecue sauce in, and I accidentally used too much. And so it was a little soupy, but I sat down, and I just ate barbecue rice. And let me tell you something, for the first minute and a half or 2 minutes, it was delicious, man. And then, it's diminishing utility, man. That's what happens. After about 2 minutes, it's like, whew, not so good, man. You know, but I grubbed. And that's what we tend to do. I like this. I like that. This is what I have. This is what I have. You'll even have ideas from broken grandparents or broken parents, and you'll get this ideal in your head, and you just take it and make it part of your philosophy of life. And nobody wants to admit your philosophy of life is broken. It's wrong. We got to go to the Bible and get fixed up. That's what we do. Nobody's opinion, God's word. That's what we got to do. And guys, we all got brokenness. We all got philosophies. We all got ways of thinking that are messed up. And I don't know what you think mental illness is, but the Bible in Romans chapter 1 defines it. And mental illness, they say right now, is at an all-time high. Because you know what they've done is they've changed the definition of it. Everywhere you go, they change the definition of it. So you're like, I'm not crazy. Well, it depends on what group you're in or what class. You go into a class, you're like, okay, maybe I'm nuts. What doctor you talk to, right? Okay, I'm a little jacked up, you know. And so you go to the Bible, and Romans 1 clearly says what it is. And yet the Bible says this is the mind of Christ. This is how we renew our minds. This is how we clean up is this book. This is why we're in church this morning. This is why every day of the week I start my day with opening the Bible up. You know why? Because this world don't need much of my opinion. I'm pretty good at messing my own life up, let alone messing other people. So what I do is I get in God's word and I'm able to renew my mind. So you know what I want to do? This is it. I'm not going to talk anymore about this save not soft. After this message today, we're going to close this chapter because we've all covered all the stories of David's mighty men. There's more men. There's just not a lot written on them. And as I was reading through Acts this week, Acts chapter 14, I thought, man, this needs preached, man. This message needs declared. So if you take your Bibles to Acts chapter 14, let's start it off in verse 13. Well, you know what? Maybe we better go up above that a little bit more. Look at verse 8. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. In verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speeches of the Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. So Paul and them are preaching the word of God. People are being healed, right? They're preaching, and now this book is called the Acts of what? The Apostles. Be careful. People get in the book of Acts all the time, take things out of context, and they make doctrine for the church out of the book of Acts. But don't fool yourself. It's the beginning of the church. The Bible's not yet complete. There's a lot of acts that take place in here that are never to be repeated. But people do it anyways because they're like, man, because it's fun. You know, man, you'll read some crazy story in there, and you're like, yeah, I want to do that, you know. I want part of that. And it's funny, people do that in the book of Acts and it never works well for them when they're not apostles. But yet people today, churches, they'd be like, yeah, I want that. What do I need to do to that? And yeah, pay the right price, go to the right class and you'll get it, right? Well, anyways, they heal this guy and the people are like, the gods are come down to us. Paul and them are called gods. And then verse 12 says, they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was for their city, brought oxen garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So now they think Paul and Barnabas are gods, man. Not just the speaking, but this dude that got healed. They're like, oh my gosh, the gods are come down to us. Check this out. And all of a sudden the priest comes along bringing offerings. They're getting ready to lay some sacrifices down for the apostles. And it says in verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Saul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in amongst the people. So they're like, oh my gosh, we got to do something about this. They're getting ready to worship us. Now today people would be like, hey, let's start a church. What's going to be the name of the church? How about Jupiter and Mercury? That'd draw people. They would play marketing, and that's what churches do. It's sexy, and they want people to come. Paul said, now wait a minute. We're not here to accept worship. And so they ripped their clothes, and I don't know how naked they got, but they ripped their clothes, verse 15, saying, sirs, why do you these things? Ye also are men of like passions with you. We're just like you, and we preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. He's straightening the culture up, saying, what you're believing is wrong. They're vanities, they're emptiness, and turn to the living God. And he's preaching the Bible, man. And then it says in verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, in verse 17, it says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they were able to restrain the people from doing sacrifice to them. And then check verse 19 out. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. What a turn of events. I'm going to give you seven things out of this passage today that it's going to be this. How we can be saved and not soft. This is like the mission of the church. But I want you to know something. The very first thing I want you to note down here is they worshiped him one moment and they stoned him the next moment. They worshiped Paul and Barnabas one moment and then they turned around the next and they left him for dead. This is how fickle people are. One moment you're beautiful, the next moment you're going to get beat down. I've had people tell me their marriage has been fixed and they come in and they learn the Bible here and they're just like, they think I'm the best thing. This is the best church. You're the best pastor ever. That lasts a year or two. I don't know how long it lasts. Then people become spiritual teenagers and they think I'm a knucklehead, you know. They think I'm an idiot. One moment they stand in awe. The next moment I'm awful. That's how it works. People give their devotion to the church or to you or to... then it's destruction, man. One time it's honor, the next one it's hate. That's what they do. We call it people that they'll demonize you. That's what they do. The one moment they lift you to worship you up, and the next moment they're having you, man. They're going to eat you for lunch. It's like having a pet snake, really. Having a pet snake, and then all of a sudden this thing gets gargantuous in your house. Then it's over your daughter, you know, doing the yawn thing. Everybody's like, oh, what's that snake doing yawning? No, he's sizing your daughter because he's going to eat you. I like people that get snakes. They always think they're sweet and cute. You ever see them? Then they get a ball python that rolls up in a ball in their hands. Like, oh, isn't that awesome? Yeah, he's terrified of you. And if he was bigger than you, he would end you right now. But nobody thinks that. They think like, you know, I don't know if you're one of those people that think snakes have feelings, but I got news for you here. People that have pet snakes, they're nuts, man. That's what they are. They're crazy. I'm not saying you shouldn't pick up a snake now and then, especially to slap it against the concrete. But they're creepy. You know, and that's what this is like. Be careful of your mindset. We got to be careful as a church, as believers. You know, all worship goes to Jesus Christ. We need to do what Paul does and never accept that. Don't take the applause. Put the applause where it belongs, right? But just remember, people worship and will love it one minute, and the next minute, they'll throw stones and leave you as dead. This is what happens. Matter of fact, we're going to be in the book for 1 Thessalonians. It's cool because every chapter talks something about the coming of Christ. But in the last chapter, it says what's going to happen is during the tribulation period, it's going to happen is it says people are going to say peace and safety. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. And then sudden destruction's coming upon them. I'm like, well, yeah, the turn of events like that. That's how the Antichrist is going to come in, by the way. He's not going to come in. The devil's never going to enter your house with a long red tail and horns on his head because you would be spooked. Your dog would attack him or run from him first. That's how that would work. He's not coming in like that. You know, all predators come in nicely before you realize that, oh my gosh, they're preying upon us. And so that says that peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So that's what happens. And I just want you to know, ministry takes place like this a lot. Our church has been through it, man. We've had people love us. I don't know if you realize this, but we're 2.5 years removed from our attendance being double. We were looking for building space. Where are we going to go to? We were packed to the max. I remember like 3 Sundays in a row, our attendance was a little over 240. Ain't that amazing? And hey, be careful. Don't think you're so awesome, because it'll end. Watch the applause. Watch who's getting the credit. Oh, they're worshiping, speaking good about MCBC then. There's the days coming where they'll hate you. Not everybody, but it happens. In John chapter 12, there's a great story. It's of a chief ruler. This chief ruler starts believing the message that Christ is giving. But the Bible says, if you want to just look at it, it's easy to find. Just back up to the book of John. Right before the book of Acts, John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 43. It says in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, believed on Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were afraid to say something out loud, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So verse 43 says, see, they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. Yeah, human nature tends to do this. And so let's just remember this. Let's not be people that do this, but remember, people oftentimes, even if the crowd is wrong, they will follow the crowd. It's human nature. People love the praises of men more than the praises of God. That's why in this country, it's kind of weird, but you go to other countries, there's people that come to church, they're dead serious. Some of them, their lives have been threatened. You put a little heat and persecution on the church, you'll start finding out the guy sitting next to you ain't for real at all. He's out. Whenever we've had that happen here in this church. We've had some weird things happen, and the heat gets turned up, and I'm amazing. The people leave, and I'm like, what are you leaving for? Well, and they like to blame me or my decision-making. You know, the bottom line is this. You know why you left? It's too hot in the house, ain't it? It's hot in here. Yeah. I get it. It's human nature. Galatians 1:10 says, if I please man, I cannot be the servant of Christ. That's what people do. Guys, we got to be careful as a church, as a ministry, that, yeah, we're saved, but don't be soft. Don't buy into the applause of men. It's short term. It's short term nice to get it, isn't it? Everybody likes that. You like the approval of men. But let me tell you what, if you're looking for trust in mankind, that's why people get married sometimes. I've seen people do this often. They get married because their lives are rough. They didn't have a good family. And so they're like, she's like, man, surely this guy is going to meet all my needs. And she puts her trust into Richard. And I got news for you. You know what happens down the road? Richard reveals his real name, you know. And you find out that, man, this is not who I thought it was. What happened here? Well, let me tell you what happened. You can never put your trust in men. Our trust only goes to one. Now, love him. Love each other. But guys, the bottom line is this. Anybody that's married here, if I just said, be honest with me, have you ever failed your spouse? And if you would say no, I would say, you guys must have only been together for a few hours then. Because everybody does, because we're human beings. So just remember this. Number one, worshiped one moment, stoned the next. People are very fickle. And people are very weak. Very easy to please men. People will always go with the majority. That's why if you can get a crowd, did you know crowds draw crowds? The big thing right now is? I know of an organization, I read all these magazines and books, I keep up on the latest and greatest. There's a church organization right now, when they want to plant a church, you know what they do? They do fundraising, they get a group of people, they go to the area, they start canvassing, try to get a location, get a special logo, they start doing this advertise. And some of these people won't even open the doors until they know there's going to be 1,000 people that show up. So some of these big churches that you'll see on, you know, that we all see or watch if you get on the internet, I got news for you. They're marketing gurus is what they are. And they play this, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with 1,000 people in church, because then I would say something's wrong with the Bible. Because in the book of Acts, all the time, there's places where thousands of people are coming up and getting saved. I'm not against that. But what I am against is marketing it. To think you're successful because 1,000 people are there? That's weird. What do you do when they do some bust on the internet? They bust a bunch of people like, my gosh, they got 1,000 people in this thing. Well, there's a lot of people. Remember, just because 1,000 people believe a foolish thing, it is still a foolish thing. Don't believe the majority. The majority is not always correct, but human nature is go with the majority. Don't stick out. And you know what the Bible says? Don't be soft. Martin Luther said that. Did you know they were going to kill Martin Luther? And they said, Martin Luther, if you don't renounce faith in Christ, because he came out of the Catholic Church, he said, man, I seen in Romans it said, place your faith in Jesus Christ so you can be saved. He says, my gosh, I believe it. And so he started proclaiming that message. They said, that's it, you're out of here. And they said, right now, here's what we'll do. It was at the Council of Worms. And they just said, if you don't renounce Jesus Christ and faith in Christ, then we're going to cut your head off. And Martin Luther just said, if I had 10,000 heads, I would not do what you're asking me to do. And I'm like, yes. That's great stuff. I'm reading a book on church history, on American church history. There's a guy with the last name of Cartwright, and this guy gets saved, and he was a rough, tumble type of just a farmer type. This guy started going around preaching, and that was a time in American history where there was some persecution going on against the church. This guy was so rough, and he knew the Bible pretty well, but man, he tells some stories in there. He goes in, he goes, hey man, I heard this town's been rough on preachers, ran some preachers out of town. And I heard the boss of it is, you know, owns this tavern, and they're like, yeah, you know, it's kind of like there's a bunch of cowboys in there just running. And this preacher just goes into the bar and just says, is it you that you own this place? Pulled him across the bar and just beat the living tar and said, any of you again rough up or mess up with the church or God's preachers, I'm coming back, you know. I'm not saying that's right, but it sure was good reading. I was just like, my gosh, what happened to the day when men were men? You ever sit in the store and just be like, man, I wish somebody would slap that lady. Well, you can't do that anymore. You're going to jail. Or that guy. I didn't say lady because ladies need slapped. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that need a good fish slap. It would straighten you right out, right? So worshiped one moment, stoned the next. Oswald Chambers said this, the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you will fear everything else. Good quote. So we got to fear God instead of fearing man. By the way, I preached a message a long time ago I stole it from a guy, famous preacher, Brian Hedges. He said, spiritual persistence will always bring, how's it say it, Bo? Satanic resistance, that's it. Spiritual persistence will bring satanic resistance, right? It's history. That's what happens. And it's true. You know, just in this chapter alone, at the beginning of chapter 14 of Acts, Paul's preaching in the synagogue, unbelievers stir people up. That's when they started talking about stoning. In verse 7, right, after this trouble happens, what do? I mean, we better be careful preaching in here because they're getting awful mad and they're wanting to kill us. So they started preaching again. And then all of a sudden, that's when Satan said, well, it don't seem to work when we're beating these people up, so why don't we give them worship? And that's when they started worshiping these guys. Isn't that crazy? The enemy will use both. If the enemy can't get you by strong-arming, he'll softly caress you. That's what he'll do. He'll lift. So you see it. See, spiritual persistence, satanic resistance. Then verse 12, they're preaching to a crowd of people and all these false worshipers. And that's when they persuaded everybody to kill Paul. By the way, reading the book of Acts, notice this. People that don't believe the word get stirred up and they stir other people up. That's what they do. If you'll read in here, there's a time where Paul was sitting looking at a group of idolaters in a city and his heart was stirred within him. See, Christians, your heart stirred. When people don't believe, you have compassion. Guys, it's people that don't believe that cause the violence. It's amazing to me that Christians are pegged today for like being haters. Now, there are some weirdos out there that do stuff like that. There are Christian groups that go around, but there's very few of them. Like, you know, there's a gay pride parade. You'll find every once on some protesters there, a small group of people. Now, if you say that you're against a gay lifestyle, if you say that, you're the devil. It's possible if you say it public enough on social media, they'll get rid of you. Now, on the other end, they can say all they want that, you know, Christians say that our lifestyle is wrong, which I never said. I never said that. No, God's word did. That's his opinion. Isn't it crazy how that works? But we're like, people think all of a sudden like, yeah, he hates gay people. Hates gay people? Do you know how the Lord found me? I was born in sin. He found me as his enemy. I was totally against him. We all are. It don't matter what sexual preference you choose. That's an irrelevant point at this part in the game. You're against God. And he loves you so much, he reaches out to you. Guys, every good Christian group I know, man, they're lovers, man. Now, they'll preach the truth. I believe the Bible. And if people reject it, you know what I do? I feel sorry for them and say, we all reap what we sow, don't we? Everybody does. That's just common sense. You reap what you sow. That's all I said in the deal. And I'll proclaim God's word. I don't hate anybody. What Christian group do you know they're picking up? That's it. We're going to pick up some stones and let's kill her. Let's kill that guy. Do you know what he believes? Do you know what that guy is? That ain't happening. Flip the tables. It happens all the time to believers. All the time when you mention the name Jesus Christ. What the Bible says. They'll come on you and they will gnash on you with their teeth, man. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, stand on the corner and whatever they're doing, you just support everybody and be lovers and hand out bottles of water and throw candy. They always love us in the parade, don't they? Woo! The parade's 2.5 hours out of the entire year. Most of the rest of the time, I just want you to know something. They think you're lame. They think the church is lame. Sometimes the church can be lame, but it's just not true. So just let's not take the worship. Let's not take the applause. Because the next moment, you'll get it. And just keep that in mind. I think it's like heaven. Hey, I just want everybody to meet my pet Komodo dragon. He's living in the bathroom with me. We keep him mainly in the bathtub. You know, people have strange addictions. One strange addiction is people like exotic animals. Watch the show. There's 10 episodes on it, and a guy gets a Komodo dragon. You know how they finally discovered there's a Komodo dragon? Because the dragon got to about 8 feet long in his apartment. He gave it its own bedroom, and the night that he bit the guy, and of course he died a slow death of about 30 hours that killed him. And finally what happened is the guy in the apartment underneath said, man, I smell a funny smell. And sure enough, it's not only a funny smell, but there was actually some liquid that started to come through the ceiling. And they had to bust into an apartment. And they were shocked. They're like, you've got to be kidding me. How in the middle of the city does somebody raise an 8-foot-long Komodo dragon? It's nuts, isn't it? How could anybody think that's going to end well? Really? Because I got news for you. When you reach into that cage with that mouse, because I don't like snakes real well, but I like to see them eat. I like to see them hunt, like on TV I'm talking. Like, you drop them in there. I got news for you. Next time, don't put a mouse in your hand. Just put your hand. And tell me what happens. Your hand becomes the mouse. And if it's big enough, you're going to have some troubles, my friend. That's exactly what happens. Don't take the worship, because they're going to hate you the next minute. You ready to move on? Sorry. I milked that point. There's 7 points. I really milked that one. The next one won't be as bad. You ready? Acts 14, and we hit verse 19, and they stoned Paul and threw him out as dead. Yeah, one time they're going to worship him, and now they kicked him out as dead. And verse 20 says, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. Okay, 2 points I want to bring out of this verse. The first one's going to be, guys, notice it says that he arose. They left him as what? Dead, and then he rose up. And some people would say, yeah, he wasn't dead. Hey, there's one time Paul talks about being beat up, and he just says, man, they left me as dead, and I can't tell if I was in the body or out of the body. But he came back. Like, almost saying, like, man, was the resurrection happening? And Paul even says, I really don't know, but that's exactly what happened. But guys, here's my second point's really easy. You know, this is one main reason why we're believers in Jesus Christ. We believe that the dead rise. Don't we? We believe that. We believe that, by the way, 1 Corinthians 15:14 says our faith is based on Jesus Christ dying and buried and 3 days later came back to life. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the dead, we are all wasting our time this morning. Our faith is vain. We believe in hope. We believe in second chances. We believe the dead come back to life. We read Abraham and Isaac when he took out to sacrifice his son. They're like, how could a dad sacrifice his kid? Well, if you read the book of Hebrews, because Abraham said, God promised me a seed, he promised me a son, then that means he's surely going to bring him back to life. What about the story of Jonah? Don't buy into what the Sunday school teacher taught you. Jonah and the whale, that's a true story. You know what happened to Jonah and the whale? Jonah died in the whale's belly. And like Jesus, 3 days later, he resurrected. That's what Jonah is. We know that here because we teach that. In Luke chapter 7, a widow, they're having a funeral. They're carrying this her dead son down the road. Jesus walks by, lays hands on, back to life, man. We're like, what? Yeah, it's true. Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. What about the story of Lazarus? Jesus resurrects from the grave. You get to the book of Matthew at the end of it. You know what happens? We see a bunch of Old Testament saints arise from the dead. You're like, what? This is what Jesus does. This is what our God can do. Then the next thing it says, it lets us know that Jesus Christ resurrected and he brought them with him. Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. They killed him and then he resurrected 100% alive because he was God. This is what we base our faith and trust in, guys. Mankind was born in sin. Jesus came. God himself came to do something about that. He owned the sin, but the wages of sin is death. So he had to die. And once God himself in the form of Jesus Christ died, 3 days later he came back to life. We believe that. If you don't believe that, then what are you doing here? Our Christianity would be in vain. You go to the book of Acts, you see Tabitha, you see Eutychus, all these people come back to life. And guys, I can just say this emphatically, is I know what the Bible teaches, the dead rise again. But the greatest of those stories in my mind, it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and behind that, me. I resurrected from the dead in my sin. You were once dead in your sin. You had no spiritual life until Jesus came in. Till Jesus took your sin, and by faith you received him, and he gave you spiritual life. Now, one day we're going to experience that in a physical sense, but right now it's by faith. We just believe it to be true, don't we? So I just want you to know something. The dead rise. We see it here, and I want you to know something about us as believers in Jesus Christ. We rise. What are people thinking? Did you know we've had people in this church have a very difficult time in their jobs because they were being a Christian, standing up for the Bible. People have been rough on it. We've seen people here in our church, like their jobs taken. You know, once when COVID hit heavy, I had a couple families that started spreading around. They just said, we're not going to the church because, you know, that church is a hotbed for COVID. I was like, hey, I think our nation's a hotbed for COVID. I think the world's a hotbed for COVID. What in God's name are you talking about? And this guy stood toe-to-toe with me and says, what you're doing, you're not protecting people. I was like, hey, dude, we're having church outside. I don't know of any church doing that. We didn't even have to wear a mask. We're like, just come outside. Stay away. Stay in your car. We don't know what to tell you. We're a hotbed for COVID. Isn't that funny? It's just like the church is a hotbed for, spread that around everywhere, right? You know what our church has experienced right in the middle of COVID? Another thing, you know, we had some false accusations against some of our better people. False. Totally untrue. Where it's like, wow, God, can we take any more? This is hard. I come to church. I was reminded this morning I came into church. I remember coming that Sunday morning to church when they graffiti our whole building. They took spray paint and painted awful words on our building. Wow. God, I feel like we're like dead. We can't win. It's a good thing we believe in the resurrection. We don't die. We keep coming back. You know, there's an infatuation there was. Now it's faded away a little bit. It went from werewolves and all that type of thing. You know, all those novels them girls were reading, and they were making all those books on that, you know, all those werewolves and weirdness. And then it went over into zombies. Zombies was a hot thing for about 5 years, you know. And infatuation was like, man, they don't die, do they? They just keep coming and coming and coming. And every time I'd see it, I was just like, and that is the church of the living God. The dead come to life, man. We believe in the resurrection. We believe, Proverbs says it this way, a just man falls 7 times. I got news for you. You can spare our building next week too. We're still having church, man. We're coming. The righteous, the just man falls 7 times, yet riseth again. That's what we do. You know, I know the country song says you can't keep a good man down. I don't know how accurate that is, but I'll tell you this much. You cannot keep a believer down. You can't. We believe in the resurrection. That's why it flips people out. You know, we believe that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The number one fear on the planet is death. The second fear is what? Public speaking. We're high on both of them. We don't fear death because Christ took our death for us. We live again. We've got eternal life. And the second thing we do is now we got a message and we're going to proclaim it all over the world, even though people are not always going to like the message. That would be public speaking. The two greatest fears in the world. We're not afraid. Well, we're not soft. So I believe the dead rise again. Do you believe that this morning? You should. That's your faith. Do you believe that Jesus took your sins and buried and left them and came back anew? That's what we do in baptism. We'll see it next week. It's a picture of salvation. You meet Jesus, your sins are buried, and then you come back to life. So I like this story because they left Paul as dead. And you imagine they left Paul as dead, and can you imagine the next day when they walk back into town, what people are thinking? I bet they wet their pants. That's what I bet they did. As they started proclaiming the word of God again, they wet their britches. The third thing I want to point out here is notice it says this. It says in verse 20, see, they left him as dead in verse 19 and verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. So check this out. I want you to know something. I think there was something supernatural that took place here, but notice how what God did. It says the disciples stood around him. Now, we're using this passage to drive this point home. We're saved but not soft. Our church has been through it, man. I'm here to tell you. I mean, and then through the midst of this, guys, when my daughter got cancer, I'm like, Lord, I don't think we can handle anymore. Like, how is this going to turn out, you know? But you know what happened? I'm like, yeah, we believe the dead rise. We believe that God is good. And at times when I didn't think I could take any more, good people got around me, and I stood up. I arose, and that's what we see here. Disciples stood around him. I'm watching a show right now. It's actually an older show, but they've got quite a few seasons, but it's called Alone. They take a guy, and they might do girls later. I don't know. I'm at the very beginning of this. They take 12 dudes and throw them out in the wilderness, out in the woods by themselves. They're miles from each other. It's called Alone. You can take 10 items, and you got to. Whoever survives the longest gets $500,000. You know what's crazy about this show? It ain't people getting sick. Bears and cougars. You know, all that type of things going on. Like, they'll show the cameras at nighttime, man, because they got 4 cameras they got to set up at all times. There's bears that are coming up right to these dudes' tents, and they're in there. And, like, the next day, they're calling on the phone saying, come get me out of here. And they rescue them, and then they get no money. But the whole point, you know what's so scary about it? Alone. You're by yourself. Some of these guys, man, they're going nutty after just a couple weeks. One guy, like, all day long just talks into the camera like it's a human being. You know, like it's Wilson, the volleyball. He's, like, talking to this camera. And I like the guy. And then at the end of it, he'll just say, maybe I'm nuts, but I got to entertain myself here because it's been raining for 36 hours straight. You can't get out of your tarp, you know. It's just crazy. But, you know, the point of the whole show is this, Alone. If somebody wants to destroy your life, you know what they'll do? Solitary confinement. It's a great weapon of war that people use. They'll get you alone. And we had, in our country, we seen when COVID really started hitting heavy. And then they said, everybody in your house, no schools, people stayed home from work, all that. And you know what people did?
They got crazier.
It was hard. It was difficult. Because guess what? Life was never meant to be lived alone. And I want you to know, some of you this morning that don't have spiritual life, you might be a Christian, but you need disciples. You need followers of Christ around you. That's the big point here in verse 20. The disciples stood around him. Others, others, others. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. You put two dudes in a tent with the bear on the outside, you're better. You're better. I'm not saying that you're going to whip the bear, but you know, these guys, some of them got knives too. Some of them put them on a stick and got it, and they're like, oh, I'm ready. This guy, there's a skinny dude on there, and I really like him. He's like, yeah, if a bear walks in here, I don't know what's going to happen except this. He will be wounded greatly. And the guy's like in the camera going, whoo, whoo, whoo. And I'm like, man, that guy is not soft. You know, because I'd be the first guy to call, like, man, I got a family at home. I'm a responsible man. I got kids that need me. My grass needs cut. Hey, come get me. Right? I would make it sound like, hey, I got to preach Sunday morning. Hey, come get me. Oh, the real thing was a cougar's been coming by every night, whizzing on your stuff out there. That's the real problem you're having. I mean, these guys, you know, these cougars are attacking from behind. So some guys are putting fake, like, eyeballs, like, on the back of their hats they're wearing. They're just like, because I don't want him to think that's me from behind. I just thought it was real funny. I was like, yeah, the cougar's not smart enough to realize, why does that guy walk backwards all the time? You know, it's funny, but I don't know. The guy hasn't been eaten yet. So anyways, I just want you to know that when Eutychus fell in the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul fell on him, got right down and fell on him. Guys, we need each other. I got a question for you. Who stood around you when you needed healing in your life? When you were left for dead, who were the people that came around you? It's neat because, like, Haley's in the hospital right now. My wife works with Hope, and they're just great friends, and so they went up for a visit, and then you hear that, oh, these people came up. Oh, these people were there. Like, I'm just like, you know what? Disciples, they're at a time they didn't have any answers, and you know who's around them? Disciples. Who are they? What about this? Let me ask you another question. Who are you standing around, or is life all about you? Do you ever find, what about the wounded believers? Did you ever get around them and just say, man, they need help? We have believers in this church. I'm like, did they go dead? Well, stand around them for the love of Pete. We believe in the resurrection, right? Don't we? You might feel dead. This ain't going so well. So the third thing I just wanted you to mark down is disciples stood around him. Don't be alone. And guys, let me say it a little bit bolder than this. Christians today live their Christian life and they don't need the church. That's not the Christianity I read about in the Bible. Every book in the New Testament written by Paul was either written to a pastor or written to a church, a group of people assembled together. There ain't never, and I can speak to this, my testimony going through cancer. I told it again the other day to a guy. I was in this shop, and we were talking, and it was a cancer because the St. Jude run's coming up. I said, hey, dude, let me tell you something. At the hospital, they said, man, we've never seen anybody with family support like you have. And I said, I got news for you. It ain't blood family like you're thinking of. Everybody that comes up here, every bit of money in my pocket has came from a group of people that love Jesus Christ. They're called the church. See, I'm part of the body of Christ. And I don't go down too far before somebody lifts me up. That's how we operate. And they were like, seriously, they said, man, you are it. I broke the record. My goal, COVID hit. My goal was to have the most people that were ever at a bell ringing for being cancer-free. That was my goal. And I told them, I know we can't all fit in this room, but we're going to line the hallways of the Peoria Hospital up there, St. Children's Hospital up there. And I said, we're going to get this on camera. I'm calling the news and everything. And when they get the opportunity at the end to talk to us, I was going to tell them how good Jesus is. That's what I was going to do. And COVID hit. They didn't even let my older daughter come in for the bell ringing. I was like, bring the surgeon up. Bring the doctor out because I'm going to ring him. I'm going to ring his bell. I was fired up about it. We had a little bell ringing. We still celebrated the best we could, but it would have been better with disciples standing around, right? The next thing I want to point out here in verse 20, notice this, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he arose up. So they left him for dead, then he stood up, and then it says, and he came into the city, and what? The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I want to focus in here. This is just a little bit, it's practical. The word departed, departed. Guys, he's left as dead. There's a resurrection here, and it was because the disciples around him, and then it says he departed, meaning he left behind. And then he went here. And shortly, he goes right back. So he's not leaving out of fear because they entered the city. They started preaching. But I like how it uses the word departed. So listen, here's the point. You're never going to move forward in your growth for Christ if you're not willing to leave the past behind. Like, he went back into the city not even afraid. I'd have been like, man, I still can't think straight. I'm still beat up. It hurts when I breathe in deeply because they kicked my ribs in. What do I do here? And it says, well, and he came out and he preached and went into the city and he departed. And you're going to see here shortly, he goes back even. You can't let fear cripple you, right? You may even be beat up, but he keeps getting back up. But he departed. I want to encourage you today. Some of you need to move from your past. You've been abused. You've been hurt. Some people, the church has even done them wrong. And I would say this, today it's time to grow up. We're humans. I hate it, guys. I've discovered that I've hurt somebody by things I've said. I hate it, whether I meant it or not. Like, it ain't supposed to happen that way. Jesus don't do that. Yeah, but Mikey does. Whew, he departed. The whole point is get out of the rearview mirror. That's it. That thing's that big. You're supposed to just glance in that thing. Don't stare in that too long. You'll be in deep trouble. You don't go forward. And I got news for you. You know how sometimes in the wintertime, it depends, you know, how you want to do this or play it. If you want to do fish, you know, whatever you want to do with your car. Sometimes you got to go in reverse, especially if you have a rear-wheel drive. You spin better and do donuts better in reverse. So you just put it in reverse. And sometimes I'll start in that mirror, but before it's over, I put my arm on the seat, man. There's a bigger window in the back. And I'm able just then to go crazy then. It's not even any fun going through that little mirror. But you know what? It's the whole point here is if you're going to depart, that's right, depart. Leave it behind you. You know, we're called new creatures in Christ. The key emphasis is the word new. We are Christians and we renew ourselves every day. We get in the Bible every day. We're anew. We don't live past, but some of you are holding on. There's so much trauma, so much thing in your past, and all you can do is depart from that. Depart. It's time to go forward. And by the way, depart from that because there's people that are dying around us. They need us. They need your help. They need my help. So don't forget about that. Renew. I love that word in the Bible. Renew your mind. Every day we get in the word, I got to renew it. I got to agree with God. I get in there. You want mental health? You know mental health? You want your mental health to be good? Well, yeah, wash your brains out. That's what you do. Get in the Bible. Christian, feed the inward man a little bit. So I love that key word, departed. Like Philippians, Paul says, you know what I do? I forget the things that are behind and I press on. Now, don't get bitter. Don't hate that girl. Hate that guy. And you're like, that's it. I'll never talk to them again. And you, that ain't departing. That's actually bitterness and it's going to grow inside of you and it'll grow roots. You can't leave things undone, but depart, man. Move on. Move on. And guys, let me tell you something. I'm no fool. We come out of COVID. We come out of a season. Our church, our attendance got lobbed in half. We've had people leave over the craziest situation. We just went through a difficult time, and I got news for you. My goal, I don't sit in meetings going, how do we get back to where we were? That's the past. I trust God so much. It's like, man, it's going to be new now. It's a different. How can we think differently? We got to get the word to the world. How do we do that? How do we do it to our town and the counties around us? How does that happen? We got to do something new. Church is never going to return to the way it was. It's just the facts. There's a lot of things in life that are not returning to the way they were. And I'm not blaming COVID for it. Honestly, that's how life is. It just happened to us very rapidly here, right? If you look at technology, it's the same thing. It's so rapidly doing craziness that, you know, and people do that. There were people that banked on websites and when apps first started coming out, I think of all the companies, I can just list a few off the top of my head. They never wanted to adjust and change because they thought things were always going to go back and they never did. There were some people, when the internet first came out, they didn't even bank on the internet. They just thought it was a joke. And so they never changed. And therefore, these stores are dead, man. I mean, all these stores that, you know, if you think about it, you know, like the Barnes and Noble's organizations, large booksellers, when Amazon first was created, it was created around books, actually. And so they're like, well, they're going to sell books online? That's ridiculous. How is that going to happen? And there were people that said, we're going to sell everything online. Churches said, that's ridiculous. That's of the devil. And guess what? You started seeing all these companies, you know, they just went out. Every company that sold, I mean, when I was little, I listened to 8-tracks, man. That's what I grew up on, 8-tracks. Then I got cassettes. I thought, you see how small these things are? Put my pencil in there, tape them back together. We did all that. Then CDs come out. We're like, man, This is where it's at. This is unbelievable. Isn't that crazy how it works? And we had vinyl in there, but that was mainly my mom's collection. And now all of a sudden, what do you have now? What are you spinning now? I've got a device about this big that can hold like 2,000 songs. Unbelievable, isn't it? For everybody that sat around goes, it'll never be. It'll never happen. Yeah, talk to Blockbuster, man. Talk to all these organizations, the Toys R Us. And then you still got the church that's sitting back going, we need to get back to, you know, an old. Be careful, dude. Be careful what you say. Culture's changing. Life is changing. That never changes. We have got to figure out how to get that book into the lives of people. It don't matter. I don't care how if it's done digitally or online, or apps, all that, whatever. We're just using it. And I got news for you. You know, by the way, you know, you watch apps change. They just, that's how they change. They sound like that too. You know, everybody's like, they don't realize, but like, you know, Facebook, it was created for college students. And now college students use it just to communicate with their grandma. You know, I mean, like it's changed faces. And people, you know, a lot of people just say, oh, that TikTok, that's a young man's game. The highest growing demographic of TikTok right now is 38 to 55 year olds. Come on, man. And guess what? Don't bank on it a year from now. It'll change because that's what life changes. We're banking on what doesn't change. And we can use that methodology any way we want to get this out. Come on, church. We're not trying to return to the way it used to be. What about the new? God's all about the new. He's made us anew. Renew your mind. Come on, young people. I'm banking on you. Quit saying our church is old-fashioned. Then step up to the plate. Help us. We might need you and your brains to get this thing out of there, right? Notice the next thing in verse 21 in this passage, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, number one thing, preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They preached the gospel. They taught many. They returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Four things they did. They preached the gospel. They taught many. Disciples' souls need confirmed. They were confirming, exhorting them to continue. Guys, because it's tough being a Christian. It's really tough today. They said, we have to go back and tell these people to continue, man. We believe in the resurrection, man. We believe in the message, and we believe sometimes it's just hard. It's going to be difficult, right? So I just want you to know that. Are you preaching the gospel? There's good news that people need. Are you teaching the Bible? You know what I love doing? You can't just stand up and just teach the Bible. I'll be in a group of people sometimes, and depending on where I'm at, and I did this was cool. Had an example. Public school teachers got together. They asked me to do a session, and I forget exactly what the session was on. So I was teaching the session. I had 30 minutes, and I did, bam, bam, wrote a couple points on the board, and they were like, dude, we love that point. And you know what I did at the very end? That's when I shocked them all at the very end. I said, okay, I just want to let you guys know something. I got all this from the Bible. The old-fashioned book that people want out, let me show you something. I shared a few. People were just real quiet. Now, I didn't get invited back the next year, but I literally had one of the school in the administration side just said, hey, dude, we had some teachers say the session you taught was fantastic. I was like, well, it was God's word. Yeah, we can't use that. Who created that rule? Now, I'm going to tell you, it was culture. Guys, you know how it is. Is the Bible strokes, it's like, you know, it's the kitten principle. You're grabbing this cat, and you just grab him from his tail, and you pet his hair up towards his head. Just rub him like that. Rub him raw. Just petting his hair backwards. And, of course, the cat's angry, and pretty soon it's going to roll over and claw you, right? You can feel it. There's one thing that could change here. If that cat would turn around, I'd be stroking him the right way. That turnaround principle in the Bible is called repentance. I know you're getting all bristly and angry at me, but turn. Turn around, and it'll hit you right. And you'll say, that's the sweet spot, isn't it? Yeah, but you're missing it. All you're wanting to do is fight against it because it's irritating you. Two things I want to tell you right now. Salvation, you don't get saved outside of that book. You know how you get saved? You accept the Bible. My mom accepted the seed of my father, and guess what? I came out. It's a miracle. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23, this is called the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. When I opened up the womb of my heart and life and I said, I'll take it, and all of a sudden that seed came in and planted in here, I was now born again. We're saved by this book. So churches that don't want to speak it and teach it, like, you're literally destroying people's lives. This is how we get salvation. We preach the Bible. The second thing is sanctification. I don't know what you're struggling with now, but I got news for you. You know what the answers are? They're in here. If you would renew your mind, that's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, that inward man can be renewed day by day. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I can't think right. I don't know what to do. Saturate yourself in that book. People today and during COVID are like, "What? Oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? I'm getting anxious. Oh my gosh, anxiety's taking over me." Nobody wants to go to the book and renew their mind. You'd rather go to the physician and say, "Hey, is there a pill for this?" Now listen, some of you take pills for that. This is first. Put the Lord first. Do the hard work first. I'm not saying you don't need medication. Doctors know that. I am no doctor. I don't know if I've ever told you that or not. I'm not a doctor. But I don't know all that stuff. I just know the Bible says you can renew your mind. I know the Bible says fears can be unlearned. There's only two natural fears in the world. All the fears that people have and they're freaking out and they act. And I'll tell you right now, most people would say, he's a little crazy. But he doesn't have to be crazy. At some point, you're choosing to be crazy. Don't choose that. That's what you do, but you got to renew yourself with that book. So I just want you to know, not just salvation, but sanctification means set apart. You could be set apart, but you got to think differently, my friend. That's why Paul and them were so adamant about, we got to preach the gospel. We got to teach many. We got to confirm the souls of the disciple. We got to exhort them to continue because everybody wants to quit. And so they had to go back around and say, this is it, this is it, this is it. So put on the new man, Colossians chapter 3 says, which is renewed in the image of him that created him. The book, renew your brains. You ready? Verse 22. I'm about done. The sixth thing, it says in verse 22, they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, watch this, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Guys, this is an interesting passage in the Bible because most people associate tribulation with the kingdom of heaven. There are two different kingdoms in the Bible. Some people don't even know that. But here it says, through much tribulation, you'll enter the kingdom of God. Basically, what they say is, guys, if you're going to be saved, you better not be soft because you're going to struggle. It's not saying that we work for salvation. No, Christ gave us our salvation. But as we enter the kingdom of God, we're going to be kingdom of God workers, the kingdom that's inside of us that we'll see one day, the spiritual side of it. The Bible just says it's going to be through much tribulation that we're going to enter the kingdom of God. When people ain't for the kingdom of God and we're for the kingdom of God, it's going to put us against each other, isn't it? God's people have always suffered. By the way, the majority of your Bible is written to the nation of Israel. Look at their history. People have always hated them. They have always suffered. Now that we're the church, I got news for you. We're going to suffer. People ain't going to believe our message. And guess what? We ain't throwing rocks at them. That's totally their opinion. That's their decision to make, not ours. I'm not mad about it. I might be sad about it. I'm not mad about it. I feel bad for you. And then somebody says, well, I feel bad for you. They think I'm believing something old-fashioned that doesn't work anymore. It still works. The problem is people don't know it because the church done went and got soft. Instead of proclaiming the Bible, God's people have always suffered. Through much tribulation, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. The consequences of not suffering, you know, people that don't suffer, you know what they do? They live carnal lives. Their lives are just a ball. It's like living in the circus every day. You'll live for the temporal things of this life. Yeah, you better go. You go better celebrate. You better go to that event. You better go to the next program. You better find the next thing to make you happy because you're going to run out. You got to keep that going. We don't believe that at all, do we? At the end, I want you to know that Jesus Christ always suffered, and he was an example for you and me. If we're going to live for Christ, we're going to suffer. I just want you to know that. Guys, listen, as cool as I desire and want to be, I know at the end of the day, if I'm going to choose the Bible as my authority and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to be a Christian, that's going to make me a weirdo, man. I know it. Years ago in the 60s, coming out of the drug movement, when Christians would get saved, you know what they started calling all those Christians? These guys, that guy's walking without no shirt. He's still barefoot. He looks like John the Baptist. His hair's to the middle of his back. He's got a beard, but he ain't smoking dope anymore. What's he doing? And they'd say, that guy is a Jesus freak. And they got the title, Jesus Freak. And that's exactly what we would end up being today. We would just be the freaks of society. That guy, that girl is a freak. You are a wacko. You are a weirdo. You are strange. You are different. Well, guess what? Normal doesn't work. We're weirdos. Let's show them that it works. Let's be different, right? Through much tribulation, people ain't going to like it. And the last thing I want to just point out, especially for you leaders in the room, verse 23 says, whom they had ordained them elders in every church. There's a lot to say here, but I want to move on to this. Just say, guys, we got to produce leaders. I want you to know that as a church, we want to multiply. We do a Bible Institute. We start with discipleship. We got discipleship too. You know why we do those things? Because we need to multiply. We need leaders that will invest in other people. And I know everybody is not a leader, but some of you in this room, everybody at some point is going to influence somebody. We need people that can oversee. We need people that watch for people's souls. You know what we need? It's like making Christmas cookies. Or my wife will hit a funny time. Like my wife, every holiday, she likes to make cookies for it, you know. And so, what do you do? You know, it'll be Valentine's Day. She wants to make heart cookies. And she's like, oh, man. And she'll call around to her friends and say, has anybody got a heart? Like, well, I don't know what they call those, but a cookie cutter. I was going to say cookie press, you know, like it's a machine, you know. We need to press hearts out to make heart-like cookies, you know. Yeah, if you want to be at Christmas time and make the Christmas trees, you know, and they got different, you know, the Christmas tree thing or a Santa Claus head, you know, snowman, you need the pattern to press, don't you? That's what leaders are in church. I want you to know something. I'm hurting right now on this. I need men and women that are saying, hey, I'll be the pattern. What, you can't be the pattern if you're looking all funky yourself. You can't be a tour guide to a land you've never been to. So you yourself have got to walk with Jesus and become an example. Ain't that crazy? That's what parents are today. You look at parents, you look at their kids. Anybody that's a school teacher would know that, right? You're dealing with kids and you're just like, they get with kids and they're just like, yeah, that kid's a little crazy, ain't he? And then you meet his parents and you're like, yeah, that kid don't have another chance but just to be nutty. Because mom and dad ain't grown up. Mom and dad ain't matured. And we're a church, and you know what we do? We mature people. That's what we do. We take the Bible, people grow in their faith, and all of a sudden, this one gal or this one guy that used to be, that guy used to be, bad reputation, and now that dude is an example. We want to make more of him because he's like Jesus or she, right? We're making leaders here. That's what we need to do. We need people that are watching out for other people, and we need people that are examples. We need people that you and me can follow. I need people that my daughters can look up and say, that's a godly man. That's a man like who you want to marry, right? We set patterns like this. So we end this. He's like, hey, we need to ordain elders here. What he's basically saying, that's fancy terminology to say, hey, we need leaders. That's how we're going to multiply this thing. And some of you, you've been coasting. And I'm not speaking to you. Some of you have been here just a year. Some of you have been here a year. Some of you are visitors. Hey, don't take this. This is for the rest of us. Some of you have been here 5 and 6 years. Your life ain't, nobody's following your pattern. We need you, man. I'm telling you. And you're capable to get in that book and to renew your mind. Be that. So listen, saved, not soft. We got 7 things today out of this passage. Ready? Worshipped, stoned. It happens quickly. Be careful of the applause of men. So one reason we're not going to be soft is I'm not going to look for men's approval. I'm going to get God's. 2, we believe in the resurrection. The dead rise. And the church should say amen. Church, the dead rise, man. Jesus resurrected from the grave. I believe that. And I believe I've seen a lot of people change. And I'm like, that dude, that girl's different than she used to be. You know, people tell me all the time, they're just like, I heard so-and-so goes to your church. And I can say they're saying that because they know something about you. So-and-so goes to your church? Oh, yeah. We're all about the change, man. We believe Jesus resurrects people. You know, yeah, we got knuckleheads in our church. We got a lot of hypocrites, too, and that's why I'm inviting them. You'd fit right in, dude. Come on. The dead rise. Three, disciples stood around him when he rose up, so we need other people. We need each other. And listen, if we're not going to be soft, if we're going to really make a difference with the Bible and our culture today, we need disciples to stand around and not let just people fall off. Stand around. What about when Paul says they departed? I like that. Move from your past. The next thing we talked about is preach the word, teach many, confirm the souls of the disciples, make sure that we exhort them to continue, right? We've got to get the word to the world. That's how I got saved. That's how you got saved. Now let's see people get sanctified or set apart for God and be a little bit different. I'm tired. The world has offered me everything. And every time I drink it, I'm like, my belly hurts, man. I'm getting nothing here. Nothing works. But they offer everything. Yeah, that's right. Between all of us, we've tried a bunch of it, haven't we? I'll tell you what does work. The infallible, the incorruptible book. God's holy word. It works. Through much tribulation, we'll enter the kingdom of God. The youth are going to camp. They're talking about boldness. I'm here to tell you, yeah, it's going to be through tribulation. And you go, and hey, I know you want to be the cool kid. Guys, you want to hear something about my testimony? I got saved in high school. I played sports. I was on the courts. I did all that type of stuff, man. I went to the dances. I did all that type of stuff. And all of a sudden, my ninth grade year, I was voted most friendly in the school. Everybody liked me. I had friends that were dope heads and burnouts. We had a school, our school was half and half, half white, half black. I was friends with everybody. And I was voted most friendly. I went to church camp and met Jesus Christ, and it ruined everything. It ruined everything. I went in the next year, and I lost so many friends, one after another after another. And you know, the only solution to that, to make it better, I began to get bold, and I started to proclaim the Bible. I started making some new friends, man. I started seeing people's lives change. That was back in my later years of high school. Unbelievable. And here I am today. Now that Facebook came around, people are getting a hold of me from everywhere. Isn't that weird? You get a hold of someone, you're like, I'm not sure I know her. Then you go back and look at pictures like, oh, I remember her. Yeah, and she's like, hey, I want to let you know something. High school, I never said anything to you, but my family's in church right now, dude, and I thought you were crazy back then. And I'm just like, wow, praise the Lord, man. But you know what? It was tribulation then. It was hard times. Doing what's right, you know, you're going to be soft if you never have pressure, man, right? I don't care if you're a baker. I don't care if you're a mechanic, man. Everybody's cussing because they're busting their knuckles, or you're in there just working it, man. You're working it. They're working that dough, and you're like, my gosh, this is tough. But them cookies taste so delicious, you know? It's going to be tribulation, tough time. Take the tough time, Christian. Quit being so soft, man. Be worked over a little bit. Be a godly man, a godly woman. The last thing, they ordain leaders. And I just want you to know the world needs influenced. Our children, man, our schools, you know what we need? We need parents, we need men, we need women in that school that have some standards, convictions of the Bible when we walk in, and we are people that are worthy to be copied. Are you worthy to be copied? Are you a great pattern for what a Christian should be? If you're not, you know what you do? Turn around. Repent. Turn around. And you're like, and some of you'd say, I'm a little irritated by the message. Repent. Seriously, it'll stroke you right. Turn around. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, we need to hear it. I know I do because, Lord, there's areas of my life I'm soft. God, I want to please men. I want people to be happy with me. And Lord, as Christians, we know today we can't ever make everybody happy, but today we want to please you. So, Lord, I'm thankful for everybody in this room today, everybody that you knew needed to be here. And I'm thankful for them, and I just pray that your word touched some area of their life. Lord, even if it rubbed them raw, even if it hurt, but it would cause growth. It would cause us to heal and to be the people that you asked us to be. So, Lord, we are so grateful today that your word saved us, that we, because of you, Jesus Christ, and accepting the gospel, we've become clean and we've become Christians. And now, Lord, we're looking at sanctification. Lord, now we need to be set apart. It's time for us to grow. It's time for us as a church to influence people around us. Quit being influenced by culture, but change it. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that would even create the future. Lord, help us not to get caught up into trying to predict it, but help us to create it. Help us to be fresh and renewed. Help us to figure out how to get this book into the lives of people. It's in your name we pray. Amen.